Some of you may already be aware that a groundbreaking book or pamphlet has emerged that lists dozens of very compelling reasons as to why Yeshua must return on a future Rosh Hashanah. The author, a brilliant NASA rocket scientist and devout follower of Christ turned independent researcher, has decided to distribute over 300,000 copies of these pamphlets to pastors and churches around the world. In addition to this, 4.5 million copies of this groundbreaking pamphlet have been pre-ordered and sold. This message has gone viral, you could say. So compelling is this pamphlet that TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, is set to interrupt their regular broadcasting program to inform viewers of special instructions and steps they need to take to be prepared for the return. So stirred by the evidence for Christ's return, one man, a retired firefighter, has spent $3,700 of his own hard-earned money to pull out a full-page newspaper ad warning its readers of the impending date. So tens of thousands of Christians and churches across America will gather for prayer on that Rosh Hashanah of the year he is predicting, so that they can be together when the return occurs. The author of the pamphlet, Edgar Wisenant, has literally staked his life on this pamphlet and his mathematical calculations and predictions as being true. He's quoted saying, "If there were a king in this country and I could gamble with my life, I would stake my life on this particular Rosh Hashanah being the date of his return." You see, he's very knowledgeable on biblical holy days and has performed countless mathematical calculations and seemingly sound biblical interpretations to determine this precise and very convincing date. You may have heard of this pamphlet. Actually, some of you may have already read it. More of you have likely heard of it, but for valid reasons, you've casually brushed it off with a chuckle, determining it to be erroneous. So what is the title of this pamphlet? Well, let me begin my answer by revealing that this author and independent researcher claimed the rapture would happen on a future Rosh Hashanah, and his book, written in 1988, gave 88 extremely compelling reasons as to why he is right. So obviously none of his predictions came true. And tens of thousands of Christians were unfortunately left disillusioned, embarrassed, and angry when the rapture did not happen. But this man repented and gave up his independent research hobby and bad habit of erroneously predicting the return of Yeshua, right? You know, surely his thousands of followers stopped looking to him for answers and never again bought his books, right? Well, wrong. Our friend, and let's call him false predictioner, Mr. Wisenant, he went on to write The Final Shout, which again erroneously predicted that the rapture would occur in 1989. He then struck again with his 23 reasons why a pre-tribulation rapture looks like it will occur on Rosh Hashanah, 1993. And lastly, in an apparent sense of despair, wrote, "And now the earth's destruction by fire, nuclear bomb fire," an apocalyptic prediction for 1994. "A prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death. And you may say to yourselves, how can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? Well, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously." Now, the Hebrew word there for presumptuously, it contains within it the idea of a pot of water that's boiling over its edges and spilling out. In other words, this prophet is speaking out of his own pride and his own self-glorification. His pride is boiling over. So it says that prophet has spoken presumptuously. So do not be afraid. Deuteronomy 18. We as humans all suffer from an insatiable longing and desire to hear from heaven. We long for a sign, a voice, a confirmation, or some direction. You see, this is good, and it's a holy desire, as we were created to be with God in His garden and in His continual presence. It's like it's programmed into our psyche and souls to desire His presence and love. Kind of like a 4 or 5-year-old boy who just subconsciously longs for the affirmation that can only come from his father. You know, we long for an affirming sign or word from our heavenly father, like, I love you, or get ready, I'm proud of you, or you're doing a good job. There's one problem with this, however. You see, in our desperation for a heavenly word, we have a bad habit of tossing out our discernment. We collectively forget what His voice sounds like. How do we know when it is God speaking through the people who claim to be speaking on His behalf? To answer that, let me tell you a story. My dad was a pastor all of his adult life. And my childhood was filled with going to church 2 and 3 times a week and painfully, at that time, sitting through sermon after sermon after sermon, wondering, when will this be over? When will this be over so I can go and play with my friends? It was week in and week out, year in and year out. And as my dad was diagnosed with ALS, which is a degenerative muscular disease, one of the first things to go, he was 62 or 63 years old when he received this diagnosis. One of the first symptoms of this disease in his body happened to be the loss of his speech. Everything else worked fine, but he just couldn't talk. And I remember in that stage of his illness, laying in my bed one night, wondering, will I ever forget what my dad's voice sounds like? Realizing and coming to the realization that my dad will never be able to look at me and say, I love you, son, or you're doing a good job, or I'm proud of you. Or just realizing I was forever unable to pick up the phone and call my dad and describe that strange noise my car was making in hopes that maybe he could help me diagnose it. Realizing that the rest of my life, my sons would not hear their grandfather speak. It was a very sobering realization that short of a miracle, I would be spending the rest of my life devoid of my dad's speech. And it hit me hard. And in 2017, my dad passed from this earthly life because of complications with ALS. But thankfully, those sermons throughout the years of his pastoring were recorded. And I have upwards of 3 tubs full of cassette tapes. Everything dating back from the 1980s forward, I have hours upon hours of his sermons where I can hear him tell stories about our family. I can hear him preach with passion and charisma. And I can hear him expound upon passages that may be confusing to me. I can allow him to challenge me and grow me to be a better disciple of our Master. You see, we forget sometimes that, yeah, we may not be able to hear an audible voice from our Creator, but we always, at our fingertips, have His written word, where we can use this as a barometer and test those who are claiming to speak on our Father's behalf. We can turn the pages of this timeless book and hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, or hold your head high because your redemption draws near, or run the race, persevere, or Blessed is the pure in heart. Sometimes we tend to devalue his written word, and we look to it less as we turn to self-proclaimed internet prophets more, and we put more stock in their word than his written word. I am a victim of this myself. You see, in 2015, Stacy, my wife, and another friend and myself, we stumbled across a teaching by a well-known Hebrew roots teacher who picked up on a lot of weird things set to happen on September 23rd, 2015. That teaching had me, Stacy, and this friend, who I actually didn't know at the time. We were all in a heightened sense of awareness. And for him, it actually prompted a dropping out of college to prepare for this teacher's elaborate end-time scenario, which involved tribulation beginning and, of course, the possible return of Yeshua. Personally, I remember stocking up on gasoline and propane and food and water. So moved by this man's teaching, I remember calling Stacy during my lunch break at work and asking if she had seen anything on the news that day. And much to this teacher's chagrin, that day came and went without a single significant event in the news. So I was left confused, doubtful, and fed up with people fooling the body of Messiah with these sensational books, teachings, and discoveries that, for just a nominal fee or a financial contribution, they could be made plain to us. So I turned this ministry's teachings completely off. I was embarrassed and angry at the same time. And of course, this teacher slipped out from any accusations, citing that he never called these predictions prophetic or that he was speaking for the Lord. Whew, that was a close call. Then came 2020. Wow. A year of unpredictability, a year of upheaval and change, a year of emotions and brokenness. I spent much of 2020 pleading with the Lord over his next step for my life, over his next steps for our congregation and those suffering from sickness, and for the USA to be safe, united, and repentant. My prayer then and now is, Father, make America holy again. And I spent much of the year hungry for a word, hungry for direction. I'm sure you all have been as well. If it wasn't for my personal experiences with past false claims or my witnessing the fruitiness and the fruitlessness of sensationalism, I may very well have fallen for some of the crazy predictions and claims I saw on the internet in the past 12 months. This year, for me, could also be summarized down to the year of information, distraction, and noise. I've never been so inundated with opinions, news, commentary, and predictions like I have been the past 12 months. It's almost like the ghost of 1988 signed up for a YouTube account and an unlimited data plan. Just this year alone, I've had strangers and people I know tell me they've heard many convincing predictions, either directly from the Lord or through a self-proclaimed internet prophet. Here are just a few of the predictions that hit my inbox or text messages in the past 12 months in the name of my Heavenly Father. A friend of a friend who works for the Pentagon told me that because of COVID, martial law would be declared in the U.S. in April of 2020, during which food, guns, and ammunition would be confiscated from American citizens. That China would invade mainland USA on Inauguration Day. That there were shipping containers and ports full of nuclear warheads set to go off on Inauguration Day. That there would be civil war in the U.S. before or on Inauguration Day. That UN troops wearing blue helmets would patrol our streets in order to keep the peace. That the dollar would decrease 30% in value in 2020. That former President Trump would have a minimum of 2 attempts on his life. Because of civil unrest and voter fraud, martial law would be declared nationwide. That microchip-laden vaccines would be forced on all of us. That the strictly theoretical Planet X would hearken the end of the age, and it would serve as our cue to pack up and flee to Jerusalem before 2/3 of humanity would be wiped out in a theoretical comet tail. That Donald Trump would drop bombshell evidence exposing the secret Luciferian lizard people pedophile ring that involved hundreds of politicians and celebrities. And that a secret informant, who was exclusively known as a single letter of the alphabet, was informing us that a secret plan was in place to expose all the corruption in Washington and, of course, one of the most repeated prophecies I heard in 2020 was that Donald J. Trump would win the 2020 election and be sworn in January of 2021 for a second term. Who? So what do all these things have in common? Well, they were all spoken presumptuously, and 100% of them did not come to pass when the claimant said they would come to pass. Lastly, many of us here in this place bought into them as truth and passed them on to others as such. I believe the flooding of the internet with false claims and prophecies was an intentional move of Satan, which left tens of thousands of people confused, embarrassed, and angry. It was a successful strategy, and one I think he will continue to repeat. So what motivates a person to falsely speak in the name of the Lord, you might ask? Well, it's simple. Glory, their own pride, and quite often, a love of money. More complicated is what motivates a person to buy into these false prophecies. What motivates a believer in Yeshua to be so easily convinced and fooled, you might ask? Well, a carnal mind. You see, a carnal mind can manifest itself through fear. That fear motivates us to speak out information about, to seek out information about how the future might play out. The trouble comes when we seek understanding from people who are spiritually blind at best and deceptive at worst. We hew out wells and drink from the fictitious waters of other men's pride. Jeremiah 2:13 says, "My people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." So I'm going to submit to you that there is no shortage of empty, broken wells on the internet. Romans 8 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is carnal is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are carnal or in the flesh cannot please God." So what does the prophet do when he or she is found to be false? Well, they move the goalpost. They say things like, "I meant to say it was next year," or "I never specified a date, so it could happen 10 years from now." Or they say things like, "I never claimed I was a prophet or speaking prophetically. So therefore, you cannot tell me I am a false prophet." Or they crunch the numbers again, and they realize they forgot to carry the one. Or they blur the language just a little bit. You've seen it happen. Maybe they spiritualize it. "Oh, you weren't supposed to take it literally." Now, if they paint themselves into a corner, so good. It's just a matter of hitting the delete button and covering their tracks. And typically, people's attention spans are such that they just have to wait about 5 to 10 years at the most and reemerge and do it all over again. Meanwhile, we are left standing in the midst of the fallout. 100 eyes of the people we forwarded it to are staring back at us for answers. What is our response when we echo the words of a prophet who is proven to be in error? Well, I believe we go through the 5 stages of grief when we realize we've been duped. The first stage is denial. This prophet or teacher wasn't wrong. He was right, but the circumstances surrounding the situation changed the outcome. Or we'll say things like, "Well, he really won the election, but because there was so much corruption, it just looks like he lost." Well, that doesn't make sense. Why didn't that part get revealed to the prophet, right? Why were you and the prophet set up for failure then? Did God know that or not? Then we move into the anger phase. We say things like, "People who deny the outcome and the prophecy or prediction, they're playing into the devil's hand. There's no way he could be wrong. There's no way my prophet was speaking out of pride and presumption." Then we move into the bargaining phase. "I wish I didn't buy into that. I'm realizing now he probably was a false prophet. But what if more people had shared the video? Would the outcome have been different? Or what if the person was actually not speaking for God? Then we move into the depression phase. I'm confused, and I'm not sure who to trust. Why would someone speak a prophetic word and not really have heard from God? What motivates someone to do that? Why did I share that and help it go viral? And finally, the acceptance phase. I bought it, but I won't do it again. I will use more discernment next time. I'll be able to recognize my feelings of fear and understand that that emotion is not from God and it impairs my judgment. So why make a big fuss over this, Gabe? Why are you bringing this back up? Isn't this just water under the bridge? Let it go. Why address this issue within the body of Messiah? Because I read my Bible and I notice two major themes. One, there is a crucial shortage of truth in the world, and Satan wants to pervert any attempt to speak it. I firmly believe that the internet and, by extension, social media, while helpful to the body of Messiah in terms of connecting people, enabling biblical research, and further revelation, it's just about run its course and has become more harmful than good. I mean, can you just imagine the damage our friend Edgar Wisenant could have done if he had 100 megabytes per second of upload speed in his home office? What if I told you there are thousands of teachers and self-proclaimed prophets that do? You see, Satan is flooding the internet with partial truths that leave people disenfranchised with the unadulterated truth. It is hurting you, the people I love and shepherd, the people for whom I would give everything to lead closer to our Savior. It pains me to see you broken, angry, or disappointed by a false shepherd and a false word of prophecy. My life is dedicated to preparing a bride free of distraction and falsehoods, who's dressed in white and waiting for her bridegroom. Let's keep our eyes on the Good Shepherd. And because our movement prides itself in teaching and walking in truth, we need to be all the more vigilant that what we share and repeat is grounded in the truth of God's Word. All it takes is one misstep and our efforts are completely discredited. Reason number two to bring this up and address it. I believe that this virus of false prophecies, conspiracies, and predictions is profaning the holy name of my King, when we should be in the business of sanctifying it by proclaiming reliable and unchanging truth. See, let's collectively agree and commit to spending more time in the source of all truth, God's infallible word, as opposed to listening to a cacophony of internet personalities and independent researchers. So before you pass on a link to a video or message with prophetic qualities to it, I want you to ask yourself some hard questions. Can you do that for me? I want you to ask yourself, am I sure this is true and scriptural? Or is this going to induce fear? Because we got to remember that what or who we fear is what or who we worship. And be cautious of anyone who wants to keep you in a perpetual state of fear. They probably want to make a buck off of it. I also want you to ask yourself this question. Does this bring me closer to God by watching it? Can I affect any change or influence the outcome of anything in this message or conspiracy? Does this message bring unnecessary division or confusion over clarity? The good news is your Heavenly Father has spoken to you through His Word, and He desires to speak to you through His Spirit. However, His voice is often a thin whisper, spoken in moments of silence and solitude. It is a voice very hard to hear with YouTube, cable news, and self-proclaimed prophets or activists rambling their nonsense in the background. So I'm going to leave you guys with some words of prophecy for 2021. In the year 2021, I'm declaring that many false prophets will arise and mislead many. Because of the multiplication of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. In 2021, I'm declaring that we need to be aware of false prophets. They come to us in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are like ravenous wolves. I'm releasing upon you that in 2021, many will come in Yeshua's name, claiming, "I am the Messiah," and will deceive many. I'm speaking prophetically over you when I say, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. But Yeshua's sheep listen to his voice. He knows them, and they follow him. He gives them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of his hand. His Father, who has given them to him, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of his Father's hand. He and the Father are one. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, of love, and of sound mind. And God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. In this way, love has been perfected among us, so that we may have confidence on the day of judgment. For in this world we are just like him, and there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who's afraid has not been perfected in love. And lastly, a word of divine revelation for 2021. God's hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and who give lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So in closing, if you look to me as a source of influence, leadership, and guidance, I'm going to ask you to join me and do something difficult. I'm going to ask you to join me on a 2-week fast of all media starting Sunday, January 31st at 3 p.m. Join me as I attempt to weed out all the noise and dig into God's word and his still small voice for our lives, our families, and our congregation. I'm asking you to turn off all social media, news, television shows, radio, music, YouTube, Netflix, Disney Plus, etc. for 14 days. And when the time comes to break this fast, ask yourself what you can go without. And instead of delving back into all of that distraction, instead, invest that time into things that matter and are eternal. Let's collectively repent of taking part in spreading falsehood and fear. Let's take off the mind of vain conspiracies and false predictions, and instead put on the mind of Yeshua, our Master and our Savior. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. Shalom.